Today's scripture reading comes from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I always get a little bit nervous when I see that Easter is going to fall during the first week in April, because in addition to it being Holy Week, there's another holiday we celebrate during the first week in April, April Fool's Day. So as I was reading this scripture passage for this morning, it looked to me like the resurrection account was a giant April Fool's prank. Except in rising from the dead, it's Jesus who has the last laugh. Our scripture passage for this morning takes place 3 days after Jesus' death on the cross. Mary Magdalene, Jesus' mother, Mary, and Salome gather at the foot of the tomb. They brought spices with them because they came to prepare Jesus' body for burial. It was very common to wait 3 days after someone died to prepare a body. I won't go into too many details, but that was a standard Jewish burial practice at the time. It's also something that women typically took care of. What's funny about this empty tomb is that earlier in Mark, Jesus already told his disciples that he was going to be returning to the Father. So one would think that they shared this with the women, and that these women would expect that the tomb would be empty on Easter morning. The fact that they show up with these spices suggests that maybe they don't really believe that Jesus is going to do what he said he would do. This also kind of explains why, when they see the empty tomb, they think that someone is playing some kind of elaborate prank on them. But the delightful part of our resurrection story is that Jesus really did rise from the dead. He really did die on the cross. He really descended to the dead. But on this, the third day, he rose from the dead. And in doing so, he proved once and for all that our God is more powerful than death. But when you think about it, what's even more amazing than rising from the dead is the fact that we, Christians living 2,000 plus years later, are bold to proclaim that Jesus' death actually matters in how we live our lives today. We believe that the cross is where we can clearly see the heart of God. Because it is on the cross that we get it, that we understand that Jesus loves us so much, he's willing to die an excruciating death on our behalf. The sin that we were once enslaved to no longer has the final say in who we are. As we say around this time of year, on the cross, Jesus paid our ransom, and we are free. I hope you notice that Mark's account of the resurrection is a little bit different than it is in Luke or in Matthew. As we've been working through the Gospel of Mark together, you'll notice that anytime Jesus reveals who he is to his disciples, he tells his disciples, "Don't tell anyone about me." Biblical scholars call this Mark's messianic secret. And by the time we get to the resurrection, we understand why. The disciples aren't ready to share the good news just yet. Even though the disciples were the ones who stood next to Jesus as he healed the sick, performed miracles, and taught in the synagogues, the disciples don't always behave in a way that suggests they believe that Jesus is God. They deny him, they doubt him, a few even betray him. But Jesus hopes that when they see this empty tomb, they will have no choice but to believe. Thankfully, Jesus hasn't ascended to the Father yet. In fact, he has a few things he needs to do here on earth before his ministry is complete. The most important thing he has to do is he has to equip his disciples for their mission. See, the resurrection opens Jesus' ministry from the towns he could physically visit and the people he could physically touch to the entire world, from the 12 appointed Jewish apostles to anyone who believes in Jesus. Jesus doesn't have time to sit and wait in an empty tomb for the disciples to get with the program. If the disciples want to see Jesus, then they're going to need to head back to Galilee. I don't think it's an accident that Jesus instructs the women to tell the disciples to meet him in Galilee. Galilee is where Jesus' earthly ministry began. It's where John baptized him in the Jordan River. It's where he drove out demons in the synagogues. It's where he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law's fever. It's where he fed 5,000 people with a loaf of bread and two fish. It's where he preached words of hope to widows, orphans, and lepers. Going back to Galilee means Jesus wants the disciples to go back out into the world, to go back to where Jesus began his ministry and to branch out from there. Because the world needs the good news of Jesus. And the world isn't going to hear that good news if the disciples sit in an empty tomb. But they might on the streets of Galilee, or in the synagogues, or over a meal in their homes, or on the edges of town where lepers beg for bread and water. It has always been a delight to me to get to the end of Mark's gospel and realize that the Easter story does not end with an empty tomb. It ends with Jesus beckoning us back to where it all began, back to the nooks and crannies of the world, to places that are just as much in need of resurrection as we are, to a world that is hungry for a new world order, a world that knows that things are not as they should be, but wants to believe that they could be again, a world that hopes that one day good will triumph over evil and death won't have the final say in who we are. I'm sure that the women gathered at the tomb on Easter morning thought that the work of discipleship was over. They had done their part. They stuck with Jesus until the end. And now that Jesus was gone, their lives could return to some semblance of normalcy. only to discover the challenge set out before them. Once they and you and us have encountered Jesus, there's no normal to return to. Because once Jesus ascends to the Father, it will be up to us to share the good news of Jesus with others. It will be up to us to model the love of God to our friends, our families, and our communities. We will no longer have the physical presence of Jesus that we can point to as proof of God's existence. We will have to rely on faith. As we journey along, we are going to see glimpses of the kingdom of God unfolding all around us. But we will have to live in the world as it is. Until Jesus returns, we will always be living in the tension between despair for the world as it is and hope for the world as it could be. Friends, Jesus has the last laugh on Easter. We expect an empty tomb, but surprise, Jesus isn't there. We thought the tomb was the end of the story, but surprise, the tomb is just a ploy to get us to do what Jesus always wanted us to do, to go out into the world and to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And to do all of this while working for justice, fighting for truth, and practicing love. Happy Easter. Christ is risen. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.